All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the 163rd consecutive class in the actual text of Shara B'Tochen. And there's one that precedes it, which is the preface, which means it's the 164th class. And since next week we're going to be making a siyum, it means that there will have been, in total, Be'ezrat Hashem, 165 classes. And you know what that means? I mean, as soon as I'm finished, I'm going right back to the beginning. Now I'm going to get to teach myself Torah. Because I think I remember what I taught 5 years ago. This is literally a five-year journey. All right, we'll talk more about that a little later. At any rate, this 163rd consecutive episode in Shara B'Tochen is generously sponsored by a dear Shul member, Lisa White, to commemorate the Yahrzeit of her late husband, Ze'ev ben Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shraub, that his neshama should have the greatest of aliyahs, and he should have nachas from the Torah that we share together tonight, which is about B'Tochen, but really about much more. But much, much more. This is much bigger than B'Tochen. Because really, B'Tochen is bigger than B'Tochen. So B'Tochen, or trust in Hashem, it's not a detail. As you might have picked up from the last 162 episodes, proper trust in Hashem really is incorporative of a Jew's attitude to life. And it changes everything. When you have proper B'Tochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it vastly enhances, uplifts, and transforms. And we've been talking about various levels of B'Tochen. Everybody has B'Tochen on some level. You got to trust in something. Even a baby trusts in something. You trust that his mother is there, as a milk machine or something. Everybody trusts in something. People live with trust. Without trust, you can't live. The question is, what are you trusting in? And does that object of your trust, where you place your trust, does it give you a sense of tranquility? Or does it give you more anxiety? And ultimately, is there anything where we can truly place our trust other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And of course the answer is no. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar very carefully and painstakingly has demonstrated how trust nowhere else is appropriate and nowhere else should we be placing our trust, and that ultimately trust or B'Tochen is a sum-zero game. Really and truly trust is absolute trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now over the last episode or two, we've kind of spoken about a high level of B'Tochen. I mean, like in the previous episode, we concluded with the ninth level, a person who knows with clarity that his or her efforts are not what gave them a living. It's not the causes. These are just empty vessels. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to fill those vessels, they are filled. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses not to fill the vessels, they will not bring you any success whatsoever. Success only comes from Hashem. And as such, the question, of course, could be asked, why does this person even go to work? Why does a person bother making a living if anyway it's going to be a miracle and anyway Hashem is going to give him his living? And the answer, as we said, was because Hashem wants him to. So he's fulfilling his destiny, his calling, his mission even, by going to work, by seeking employment, because it's a mitzvah to do that, to make a keli, to make a vessel, which we refer to oftentimes in these studies as hishtadlut, the efforts that Torah requires we make. And because of this, everything that this person does is an act of servitude and subservience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an act of Avodas Hashem. It hallows and sanctifies everything that a person does, but that is still not the pinnacle of trust. It's not the pinnacle. The pinnacle of trust is not only that a person does not have his own preconceived notions of what's good and what's bad and expect that God will give him good in a way that he imagines or she imagines good to be. Not only that a person knows with certainty that his or her efforts have absolutely no bearing whatsoever on the final result. No. That's not the pinnacle of trust. The pinnacle of trust is what you're about to discover. Hold on to your seats. This is intense. So Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar now continues as we move into the final phase of the seventh chapter, which is the last chapter of the gate. V'chaasher techazek hakorosei be'elekus yoser mezeh. And so, now we talk about a level yet higher. When a person, this is like a different kind of trust in Hashem. When a person has a greater awareness, and even his clarity about life is even more solidified. And it's strengthened within him even more so. It's even more more intense, more profound. Be'alikim, yeser mizeh, even more so than what we already achieved. And let's not sugarcoat things. Number 9 is a very, very high level to achieve. Very, very high level. Very few people that I know operate on level number 9. However, if a person's awareness and clarity about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his perception about God, continues to wax and to grow, and that will happen, by the way, through Torah study, and especially in our day and age, through the study of Chassidus and learning about God. Yeser mizeh. Ve'yeda ha'inyan ha'mechuvan elav bibriyase. So then what starts to become clear to you, you have this realization of the purpose of your existence itself. You start to question existence. You start to ask that the bigger question, and you start to come to a greater clarity as to what is this game of life all about? What is the idea of yitziyosei el ha'olam hazeh? Why is it that I left the treasure trove of souls and the place of eternity to come into this world? And this world is a world hakola. This world is a world that is transitory. This is a world where everything is shifting and changing, where nothing is eternal, but everything is ephemeral, where nothing lasts. And everything at some point decays, falls apart, and is worthless. That's the nature of this world. That's the defining hallmark of Olam Hazeh as we know it. So when a person starts coming, the Chasher, as the Neder B'Kodesh says, he Madrega Asiris. This is the 10th level. This is the ultimate. The ultimate, the penultimate was number 9. That was pretty intense. But this is the ultimate. This is the 10th. And the Neder B'Kodesh says something so interesting. He just throws this in. He says, V'ho'asiri yihye kodesh. The 10th will be sanctified. The 10th will be holy. This is a euphemism. There's a mitzvah in the Torah that when a farmer, a rancher, raises animals like sheep or goats, so the animals that are born during the course of that year, at the end of the year, have to be tithed. And one of those animals has to be designated as Maiser Behema, has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash as an offering, as a korban. So the Maiser Behema, you don't get to choose. Usually we're supposed to choose the finest and the best. But you know, if you leave it to people to choose the finest and the best, they're not necessarily going to choose the finest and the best. They'll tell you they're choosing the finest and the best, but they may not be doing that. Instead, you have to take all of the animals that were born, you kind of corral them in, and there's a small opening which is made. And the mother sheep or goats are on the outside, and they're bleeding or making the noises that they make. So the young are yearning to be with their mothers, and that's why they find a hole, they find a way out, and start to jump out. And you, the rancher, has a mitzvah then to stand there with a little bit of red paint, and you start counting. Achas, shtayim, shalosh, 1, 2, 3. And then when the 10th one out comes out, it says, ha'asiri, you dab it with a little bit of red paint, as if to identify it, and the Torah says the 10th one, that's going to be the holy one. If it's blemished, then it can't be brought as a korban. That has a separate set of halachot. If it's a perfect animal, then it has to be brought as a korban. I'm sorry?
Is that what we read in Yom Kippur?
No. On Yom Kippur, we read the Kohen Gadol used to dash the blood in a very specific way 7 times. And he would count to make sure that he did it achas l'mayla v'sheva l'mata. One was like this way, and another was he had to. So that's why he counted to do everything in a very, very precise way, because on Yom Kippur, everything has to be done in exactly the perfect order, or you start all over from the beginning. Because it's a single mitzvah. And a single mitzvah, it's not separate mitzvahs. If it was separate mitzvahs, you did one mitzvah. This mitzvah didn't work, you do the next mitzvah. Yom Kippur is a single mitzvah. All the details of Yom Kippur have to be done right. So it's like working in a radioactive environment. Everything had to be very, very precise. But here, this is not for people who necessarily are working in the pristine environment of the Beis HaMikdash, but you have to count the animals. And the Neder B'Kodesh says, Hasidi Yer Kodesh, Hasidi Yer Kodesh. It's very interesting that the previous Rebbe, both of his names started with the letter Yud, right? His name was Yosef and his name was Yitzchak, both 2 Yuds. And in the last year of his life, he started to sign his name with a Yud, the Sefer Torah Yud. Started to write out, to draw a Yud. Nobody could figure out what was going on. And of course, and his histalkos, his passing, was on the 10th day of Shvat. So Shvat is like the shevet, like the staff. Vahasidi Yir Kedesh, you have 10 pass on to the staff, and the 10th will be holy. And the Rebbe many times invoked this maxim when he spoke about Yud Shvat and he spoke about the Friedrich Rebbe, Hasidi Yir Kedesh. So you see, this is like the Nedarba Kedesh says, this 10th level, this is the pinnacle. Hasidi Yir Kedesh, we're talking about something, he gives you almost like a heads up. This is heavy stuff, very, very holy person, the person who achieves this. And the person who gets clarity is perception in divinity, in godliness. And so he knows why he's created. And as the Neder B'Kodesh says, what does this mean? Mistakel al eze tam nivra. He starts to ask these questions and look deeply into, so what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Why am I created? Why did Hashem bring me? Why did I experience embodiment? What is this all about? Most people think that they're here to have a good time. And therefore, the currency of life is, how much fun did you have? Or how easy was life? How good was life? How enjoyable was life? But if that's not the purpose of life, then why would that even be an issue? Why would that be part of the currency of my engagement? So this person has clarity of purpose. And he's looking deeply into the purpose of his creation. Now, what does it mean, yitziyase? So there's different ways to understand this. Yitziyase could mean, as I said, to go out of a higher world. But the Neder B'Kodesh says, Yitziyase here refers to the birthing process. He understands this to mean Meirechem Imoy, that we all were once in a uterus and we were being fed by our mothers and we didn't draw a breath and we didn't have to eat. Everything was given to us. And then it wasn't. And then we left Rechem Imoy. We left the comfort of our mother's uterus. We left our mother's womb. And at that point, life begins. And of course, the question is, so he says, why did I leave the womb? Why did I come into this world? What was the purpose? Now, the Toiv HaLavonin reads this differently. He doesn't say, Bibriyosoi, in his creation. It's not so much a question of why am I created, which is a little bit geocentric. He rather frames this as, La'eza tachlis nivra ba'ilam hazeh. Why? I mean, similar, but like, why was I created in this world for? What am I here for? He doesn't ask the question as to why his neshama was created. What am I doing here? Why was I brought into this world? A world which is kola. A world which is kola, says the Teva Levonin, kola v'nifsad mehera. Everything decays pretty quickly. All living things certainly decay. Things that don't decay are generally dead, like tombstones, rocks, stones, monuments, marble. These things don't decay as quickly. But then they don't have life in them. Anything which has life decays at a very, very rapid rate. So we go into a world of eternity, to a world which is filled with garbage or potential garbage, because everything turns into garbage. And so what is the purpose for this? Now, this person will start to notice that the materiality of the world is kind of pointless. V'yakir ma'alas ha'olam ha'acher. He starts to recognize and appreciate the value of the other world. Now, before the teachings of Chassidus came along, people understood this to mean the other world as in Gan Eden, paradise, or the place where neshamas are. So there's no value to this world. He says the real value is in the next world. But on a deeper level, once we have the illumination of Chassidus, that we understand that The idea of the other world, of the concept of looking at the world differently, is not looking at the material nature of our world and throwing out the baby with the bathwater and saying, so the heavens, that's where it's really at. No, actually, it's really in this world. It's really here. As the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya in great length, that the whole purpose of creation is that Hashem wants a dwelling place in this world. Kishem Shesh Le Dira Bel Yenim, says the Medrash Tanchuma Kash, Kach Rotza Dira Betachtenim. The Eibishter wants a world, and the Sava Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what God craves. We don't understand why God craves anything, but that's what Torah tells us. So a person starts to understand, Yaker Maila Sa'ilam Acher, he understands the part of the world that we don't see when we look at it. Because when we see our world, we look at the material side of our world. He's looking at the side of our world which we don't notice. The side of a world that the eye doesn't meet the eye, the spiritual side of reality. And when he looks at the spiritual reality, with just as Eilam HaNitzchi, this is the spiritual truth. The spiritual truth, He says this is a world that has a totally different concept, a totally different reality attached to it. So when a person starts to notice this, yimas ba'ilam hazeh ubisi beisav, he starts to be quite disgusted and put off by what you would call the material nature of the world. So how does he look at the world? A regular person looks at the world. I have needs. I have to satisfy my needs. I have to pay my bills, keep roof over my head. I have to have my environment, my friends, my family, my make sure I'm in my happy place, and that all the needs that I have are going to be met. But this is a person who looks at the world and he says all of those things are temporal. None of these things really are eternal. So what's eternal? What's eternal is the purpose that I was created. What's the reason that Hashem put me into this world for? And he understands that he has a shlichus, he has a mission. And his mission is not to eat as much as he can, or enjoy the food as much as he can, or to engage in other kind of pleasures, or to create an easy way to live for himself. That's not why he needed to be embodied. He's embodied because he has a sacred purpose. He has a holy mission because he has to make this world into a godly place. So he understands the other world doesn't mean the other world is in heaven. Because the purpose of embodiment, the person of incarnation in a physical world, is not to go to heaven. The purpose of incarnation in this world is so that we should bring heaven down to earth. So he starts to understand that the heavenly reality, which now is not overt and obvious, but it will be when Mashiach comes, that is the driver. That is the purpose. This is what life's really about. And as such, because he recognizes the spiritual value, so then he starts to be disgusted by the material reality, which only gets in the way. The question is then, what does this person seek out of life? Rabbeinu Bachai says something very interesting. He says, because the person is no longer interested in the material pursuit of this world, so what he starts to look for is, he's disgusted or put off by the things that the natural world has to offer, the material world has to offer. Instead, he becomes devoted and committed to Almighty God Himself. He's interested in godliness, he's interested in divinity. So his delight or his pleasure is being alone, contemplating, being meditative, feeling a closeness to Hashem. Now, by the way, just because that's what he enjoys doing, or that's what lights his candle, so to speak, that doesn't mean that's what he's necessarily going to do, because he understands that he has a mission, he has a shlichut, but that's what he's interested in. So what makes him happiest? The answer is when he's able to feel the presence of Hashem in his life. That's what makes him happiest. And because Hashem gives him a mission, he may well transcend that desire or leave that aside and devote himself to assisting and helping and uplifting others, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from him. But there's nothing wrong with desiring that aloneness. There's nothing wrong with the question, what is a person's, like, what is the pleasure that a person desires? Where does a person find true enjoyment in life? And Rabbeinu Bachaya says that a person starts to enjoy the spiritual reality. And when he feels at a time when he feels close to Hashem, that's the kind of thing that he wants to focus on. The Manoach HaLevavos explains it like this. He says, when we're talking about a person who is yishtoimim mebilti hamachshava bezulase, he's kind of silent, doesn't think of anything else other than the presence of Hashem. He says, we're talking about a person, ein oile bedaite machshava acheres. He doesn't have other thoughts in mind. Zulas hamachshava begdulas Hashem yisala. The focus of his life is God, greatness, the greatness of God. So because that's what overwhelms him, that invariably silences the other voices and the other things which are no longer of interest. And when they kind of come up, he quickly turns away from them because it's not really what he's interested in. And he says the term of yishtoimim, which means like silence, is like the book of Daniel. It says eshtoimim kishochada. I was quiet. I was still. Or it could also come from the terminology of shmama in halev, of an emptiness in the heart, or shemu shamayim, the vast emptiness of heavens. And so what does that even mean? What does it mean that he's astonished? The heavens are astonished. What does it mean? He says, this is a person who doesn't quite get other people. He's matmiya al misha'inim isbeinin. He looks at people who don't think about the greatness of Hashem, who don't want to have Hashem in their life. He doesn't get them. He doesn't understand what makes them tick. And he wonders himself sometimes how he could wander, so to speak, in other places. In other words, we're talking about a person who becomes entirely directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because he becomes entirely directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he anything that gets in the way of that devotion, anything that gets in the way of that closeness, becomes for this individual a diversion. Now, the natural thought is, as you're listening to me talk, and as I'm listening to myself talk, I'm thinking, this is a person who's not living in this world, right? What does this have to do with Betochen? You know, up till now, we talked about Betochen, trust in Hashem, I know Hashem takes care of everything. Here, we're all of a sudden talking about a person who lives an entirely spiritual life, who doesn't focus on the material pleasures of this world at all, which is, it goes against one's grain, it's totally unnatural. And why does that become the pinnacle of trust in Hashem? Ostensibly, it's not a pinnacle of trust at all. Ostensibly, it has nothing to do with trust. How does that work out to be the concept of trust? So this is first of all, a very good question. It's a very good question why Rabbeinu Bechaya says this. But what I want to point out to you before we go further is that in many, many other sources, we have later writings and kindred writings that emphasize this idea of true trust being singularly focused on Hashem himself. That's what enables, and that's what facilitates true trust. Not in a particular order, but I want to share with you the words of Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Mikitz. This is the second Rabbeinu Bechaya. Because to me, this illustrates the point very, very clearly. Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Asher, in the beginning of Parshas Mikitz, feels hard-pressed to explain the situation with Yosef. And Yosef HaTzadik is one of the greatest, most pious individuals in history. And he's in prison, and he never loses his faith for a moment. And he's there for a long time. And finally, he sees the way out. He sees Hashem has ordained that the butler's there and the baker's there. One's going to be swinging for the gallows, the other's going to go free. And he is the one who predicts the dreams. He says, listen, don't forget me. Like, you know, make sure you tell the Pharaoh that I'm here by no fault of my own. And what happens as a result is that Yosef remains or languishes in prison for an additional 2 years until the Pharaoh has his dream and until Yosef is brought out of the pit and he rises to greatness. So this is a question that really almost everybody asks. Like, what did Yosef do wrong? He followed the Shaar Betachim perfectly. It's ishtadlus. This is what you're supposed to do. This is a person who could help him. So he mentioned, please help me. And of course, the person didn't help him. But where did he go wrong? How is that a lack of betochen? How is that a lack of faith? So because this question is there, and many, many people ask this question, so Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Asher, in his commentary, before he begins to comment on chapter 41 of the book of Genesis, he spends a page talking about trust. And he bases the entire rumination on a verse which is found in Proverbs, in the third chapter, the fifth verse. It says, "Betach al Hashem b'chol libcha, trust in Hashem with all your heart, va'al binoscha al tisha'ein." Do not rely on your own understanding. Put your trust in Hashem fully. So I want to share with you what he says, because I think this will help us to understand how what the person of Rabbeinu Bechaya is now describing is actually at the pinnacle of trust, besides other things, the pinnacle of trust. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, in this verse, is exhorting a person with regard to Midas HaBetochen, the measure of trust in Hashem. And why does Shlomo HaMelech exhort a person to Betochen? He says, "Mipnei, because shehu mi'ikrei ha-toira v'ha-mitzvos." It is a primary root in the study of Torah and performance of mitzvahs, in the euphemism that we often engage in Yiddishkeit. It's a primary ingredient, a cornerstone in Yiddishkeit, and that is sheyivtach Ha'odom ba'akadosh baruch hu b'chol libay. That a person should rely on Hashem with all his heart. And what does it mean that he doesn't rely on his own wisdom? He says that sometimes a person is calm or relaxed because they have wealth or because they have wherewithal. So they have what to lean on. Like they have something that gives them a sense of security. And because they have this sense of security, that's why they're at ease. And Shlomo HaMelech says to you, Lo yishoin b'zeh klal. That's not why you should be at ease. You should be at ease because you place your reliance and your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. You should know that ein kol ma'asav u'machshav yisav klum bilti yigzer Hashem yisala. Whatever you do and whatever you have, it will all amount to naught unless this is what Hashem wants. And he quotes the famous verse, which everybody knows from the 19th chapter of Proverbs, Rabbeis machashaveis belev ish. There are many thoughts in a person's heart. Vatzas Hashem hisakum. And it is the will of Hashem that ultimately that stands. You know, we in Canada saw an extraordinary reality unfold politically, in the political landscape, in the last few months. Here you had a political party that was headed for power, like a politician, a skilled politician, who dismantled, really took apart the prime minister, and everybody knew he was going to win. Wasn't even a question. But he didn't win. And everything went upside down. And of course you could, you know, point fingers and blame him for one thing or the other. But the truth is, there was the president of another country who meddled in our politics. That's what happened. And it was only because the president of another country meddled in our politics that all of a sudden everything turned. What could he have done different? Probably nothing. You could always do some things better. But it's just a stunning example of how a person could have strategy that was carefully thought out and perfectly implemented, and in the end, it came to naught. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not want it? I don't know. That's not my business. That's beyond my pay grade. I'm not saying that I'm happy about it. I'm happy because HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is good. So that's the way it had to be. I mean, as we understood it, we thought something else would be good for us. But this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted for us, so it must be good. But this just illustrates to us how, in the end, everything is in Hashem's hands. And so often you look at people and they're poised for extraordinary success and everybody's betting on them and nothing happens. And then people who come out of nowhere, like, how did this happen? And everybody's a genius. You know, on Monday morning, everybody's a star quarterback. After, post-ipso facto, everybody knows how everything happened. And you ask yourself questions like, what could I have done differently? And sometimes there are things you could have done differently, so you have to make a better keli. But you have to know when you're asking yourself those questions, that's not the reason that things do or don't happen. That ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of the universe. Im osaf oisher l'roiv, if a person managed to amass a fortune, ein loy lahachzik toivu la'atzmei, do not pat yourself on the back and gloat of how you are so great. Ki oshrei leboi lov bekoichei v'kalusei, your wealth, your affluence does not come to you by virtue of your efforts. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech says. Shlomo HaMelech, in his wisdom, observes in Ecclesiastes, in the 9th chapter, he says, Lo lekalem hamarutz, the sprinter is not going to win the race. Lo legiberim hamochama, the mighty ones are not going to win the war. Lo lechachomim lechem, the people who are so smart and they know how to manipulate everything and they have the best strategy in the world and they can't make a living. The people who are very insightful and understanding are not necessarily going to be wealthy. Even the people who are very charismatic. Because ace, pega, something hits, and that's it. Everything gets turned inside out. This is the nature of life. And we know this to be. It's a fact. Everybody has seen multiple examples of this. And yet, we still cling to this foolish notion that we're in control. And that we're making things happen. Lefichach, says Rabbeinu Bechaya II, Ein roi lo liftoyach u'lishoyin al binasei. Do not rely on your own understanding. Do not place your hope, your aspiration, your optimism in your efforts. Rak b'Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what David HaMelech said in Psalm 62, in the sixth verse, when he said, Ach lelikim doimi nafshi. My hope is placed only in Hashem. Mimenu tikvasi. From Him comes my hope. And from nothing else. Kiloyma, what does it mean, and from nothing else? Loi bihishtadlusi. It is not by virtue of my efforts. And then Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Asher starts to speak about different levels of trust. It's not exactly a mirror of the 10 levels of trust that Rabbeinu Bechaya ibn Pekuda talks about. Although, very interestingly, Rabbeinu Bechaya mentions the Shara B'Tochen by name. He says, Mishu sholem b'midas ha-betochen, a person who is perfect, a person who reaches the pinnacle of trust. Yesh alav liftoyach ba-kodesh baruch hu b'chol liboy, then he should place his trust and reliance in Hashem. This is an emotional state of being, it's in a wholehearted way. Shehu yisala ba'al ha-sibos, that God is the cause of everything. And he says, Kein kosef harav ha-godol ha-chosed Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Pekud ezal. This is what Rabbeinu Bechaya, the son of Pekuda, says in the Sefer Chavis Halavavis Shechiber. He's talking about our book. Right? And Bechaya read this book too. And he says, so why does it say Betach El Hashem, trust to Hashem? Why doesn't he say, instead of, this is going back to where he started, because he started off right with Proverbs 3, verse 5. Betach el Hashem. Why doesn't he betach be Hashem? Place your trust in Hashem. Why to Hashem? Why doesn't he say that? He says, Levayer, this is to explain to you. Sha'a betochen ha-sholem b'chol libay. That true trust in one's heart means she'yio kol machshavos of el Hashem. True trust means that you direct yourself entirely towards Hashem. And because a person is Einei El Hashem Tomid, as David HaMelech says in Psalm 25, because a person is only directed towards Hashem, so therefore he doesn't seek any other possibility, because it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he places his reliance on, and it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he, so to speak, directs his attention towards. It's like, what does this mean? What is he trying to say here? I don't know for sure, but this is what I think what he's saying to us is that if you are still the center of your little universe, and most of us are, so the center is around you. Like, okay, everybody, in every experience you had, where were you in the experience? Either you were a fly on the wall watching it happen, so it was on your side, it was above you, it was beneath you, it was behind you. The question in any experience we've ever had, it was always revolved invariably around ourselves. Which is not really so nice that we should be at the center of everything, but that's human nature, if left unengineered, unchanged, is that you will always be the center of everything. And the question will always be is, so how does it work for me? How does it relate to me? Is it good for me? Is it bad for me? But really, betochen means that I stop thinking about myself, and instead I direct my attention towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not, how is that, is it good for me, is it good for Hashem? Does this align with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or does this not align with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not about me. It's not about you. In other words, you live in a God-centric world instead of a self-centered world. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says that's the meaning of Betach El Hashem, that your trust is directed towards Hashem. So it's not only, think about this. If a person lives in a self-centered world, which it's all about him, where in level 9, you could be in that self-centered world. You could be a person of tremendous trust in Hashem, but it's all about you. It's all about you, that you are happy with whatever Hashem gives you. Not that you have an idea, a preconceived notion of what should or shouldn't be, and you're convinced that Hashem will give you what you want Hashem to give you. You, in the ninth level, the betochen means you know that it all comes from Hashem, and you are grateful for whatever Hashem gives, and you know that whatever Hashem gives, you trust Him to give you exactly what you need, and that He's giving you what's best for you. It's still about you. You place your trust in Hashem. It's about Hashem, but it's still about you. And if it's about you, that's not what real betachon is. Real betachon is where everything's directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. like a funny conversation I had many years ago. So I had a friend of mine who was not a very nice fellow. He wasn't a nice guy. He's very talented. He's very smart, but not a nice person. Okay, so whatever, he got married. And like I kind of thought they wouldn't be a very good husband. That's what I kind of thought. Maybe I shouldn't, but that's what I thought. That's what I thought of somebody who's like distantly related to me. And I always found him to be a very selfish person. And it turned out he was a very good husband. Why? He is a selfish person. But he came to the conclusion that a happy wife is a happy life. So he kept his wife happy, so it was good for him. So at the end of the day, it was about him. Because he was a very selfish guy. But he's a very good husband. He's very doting, he's very kind, he's very caring, he's very considerate. He just wanted her to be happy. He wanted her to have whatever she wants, she'd be happy, be helpful. Why? Because he couldn't deal with complaining and kvetching. He didn't want to hear anything about that. He didn't want to have any grief in his life. But it was still all about him. So would you call that the picture-perfect husband? I'm going to say no. Maybe pragmatically, yes. But in theory, conceptually, he's not thinking about her at all. He's thinking about himself always. A really loving husband is actually, he cares so much about his spouse that he's always thinking about his spouse. He's putting his spouse first because he cares more about his spouse. Not because it's good for him. Okay, whatever. So it's like I'm just using this as a paradigm, as an example. So this is a person who's he's a real chassid of the Eibishter, right? He's a very devoted to Hashem. Why is he devoted to Hashem? Why is he devoted to Hashem? Because he knows Hashem's taking care of him. He knows, and he knows that whatever Hashem gives him is exactly what he needs. He knows this. And he's convinced of it. By the way, it is the truth. What Hashem gives us is what we need. And it is what's best for us. So he comes to that clarity. And because he came to that clarity, so therefore he places his trust in Hashem. He's satisfied with whatever Hashem gives him because he knows that whatever Hashem gives him is perfect for him. But at the end of the day, it's still about him. And here we're talking about a higher state of bittul. Here we're talking about a higher state of self-transcendence where instead of being about him, real betachin means it's about the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's really what betachin is. That's real, because that real betachin is not simply an awareness of which side your bread is buttered. And if God butters my bread, it must be good. Because that's what Torah says. So I believe what Torah says. You can't go wrong believing what Torah says. So it must be that it's good. But in fact, it is all about me. It's just that I'm convinced that God gives me what's good for me. And here, he says that the real idea of betachin is the tzaddik is not mevakesh asiba, it doesn't ask for anything. All he wants is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he says, this was the issue with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was the great beiteach b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He really, really placed his trust in Hashem. But for Yosef HaTzadik, it was considered to be a deficiency. Bikesh misar mashkim sheyiyo lo siba. He saw the butler as a way out. He said, okay, the butler, I'm going to talk to the butler. The fact that he talked to the butler is because he actually saw it that way. He saw it. He said, how am I getting out of here? Now I know. Hashem provided the butler. So now it's through the butler that I'm getting out. That should have been Hashem's business. And on some level, for what Yosef HaTzadik should have been, lehigia lemadrega zu shel betachin. He didn't reach that level of betachin. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bedaktik with tzaddikim. He's very precise and exacting with tzaddikim, even gochut asayda. So God expects more out of Yosef. And because Hashem expects more out of Yosef, so Yosef ends up suffering as a result of it. But the truth is that on some level, at least conceptually, we should understand and hear that if a person's betachin is he has full trust in Hashem, but it's still about him, that it's not the level of perfect betachin. Perfect betachin means that your attention is directed entirely towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, what matters is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's your only interest. Your interest is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. So when a person reaches this level, which Rabbeinu Bachaya calls the ultimate level of betachin, he says he's yishtateya bezichrei bebedidus. He's when he's all alone, or he's not engaged, so to speak. What kids call today bored. He's not bored. So this is just an opportunity for him to be, he's preoccupied and he finds joy in his closeness to Hashem. And because that's where he finds his joy, he's not looking for anything else. Because for him, life has become about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because he has become about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's the thing that fills his mind, and he doesn't have any other things on his radar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes his sole focus. Now, what happens if a person like this ends up in a position of popularity? He's a popular person. Could happen such a thing. A person like this might be sought after. A person like this might be seen as very inspirational. A person who lives his or her entire life focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, Im yiyye b'makeles, if this person finds himself amongst other people, and maybe he has fans or surrounded by adulation, lo yisave ki im lirtzoinei. It doesn't interest him. All this thing, this is not what he's interested in. He's not trying to collect brownie points. He's not trying to win fans. He's not trying to be popular. His interest is, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me right now? And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, le'yichsef ki'im lefgi'asei, what he seeks is Hashem's attention. And if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me, like figi'asei, as the Neder B'Kodesh says, is le'bakoshas me'Hashem yizbarach m'loshem figuli, like when Avraham Avinu wants to purchase a piece of land, he says, ufigu, figuli, I want you to ask on my behalf to Ephraim ben Sechar if he's going to sell that piece of land to me. So here, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, his only interest is, what does the Rabbeinu Shalalem want from me now? V'tatidehu simchosei bi'ahavosei misimchas anshei ha'olam ba'olam. He finds the joy things that people usually get excited about, he finds the soul of diversion. And it's a little hard to read this because it sounds very very much in a Musa way, but he says the simchas ansha olam haba ba'olam haba. He says that his joy is the joy that of his reward in the next world. Okay, so it sounds like it's all about going to Gan Eden. But the truth is, it doesn't even fit with what Rabbeinu Bechaya says altogether, because Rabbeinu Bechaya spends so much time telling us how heaven is not mentioned. It's not about heaven. It's about a higher purpose. And so the point then would be, as the Teva Levanan says, this is a person who doesn't find joy in the things that other people find joy. The things that people typically desire and want don't interest him. He asks himself, am I interested in the things that people of this world are interested in? So what is this about? It's about a purpose. It's about a goal. It's about a transformation of this world. And that's what he's interested in. That's what he's trying to achieve. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that you should know, this highest level of trusting in Hashem, this is the stuff that inspired Hanavim, Vachasidim, prophets, pious people, Sgulas Elikim Hazakim. These are the people who reach what we're going to call the treasure, Hashem's treasures. The word Sgula means a treasure. The pure that Hashem treasures. And this is the meaning of what Yeshayahu HaNavi says, Af Eirech Mishpatecha Hashem, Ki Vinucho L'Shimcha, U'L'Zichrecha Tavas Nofesh. Which literally translates as that even if we have to experience Mishpatecha Hashem, the way of Hashem's judgments, judgments are usually not pleasant. Nonetheless, so kivinuch l'shimcha, we continue to long for, or to hope for your name. Ulezichrecha, and for you, or for your name or remembrance, tava nafshecha, that's what we're interested in. So our focus continues to remain and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in difficult or painful or challenging times. Now, if a person is convinced that whatever happens to him is for the best, so things don't work out well, and Hashem is giving him a rough go, so to speak, and ultimately he believes it's for the best, but he's not going to be very happy. When he's suffering, he's suffering. Like the pain is a real pain. But here, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, the person who has such a focus, his trust means he has an absolute focus on Hashem, that he only remains with one question. And the question is, how do I become closer to Hashem? How do I become closer to Hashem at this time? I once heard that Reb Hirschel Chenegev, Reb David Tzvi Chein, was a famous Chassidish Rav, Chassid of the Rebbe Rashab. He said, Gam ki eilech begeitz ha-mavis, even when I walk in the valley of death, in the veil of death, loy ira ra, it doesn't bother me. You know what bothers me? You know what's ra? Ki atei madi, you have to be here. But Hashem is stuck in this. I don't care that I have to have a, that Hashem should be stuck in this situation, so to speak. You know, kaviyachol, that Eibush is stuck. But like that's, he said, that's what bothers him. That Hashem has to see and feel the pain, because b'chol tzaras eloi tzar, Hashem has pain in the pain that we have, and so on and so forth. That's what bothers him, he says. He lived a life which is entirely focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim, tzoma nafshi lelekim, my soul thirsts for you, lekel chai, for the living God. And at this level of betochen, we're talking about somebody who submits himself entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yearns for nothing other than to cling to Almighty God. I want to share something that the Maharal of Prague wrote, just to clarify further, like how does this become betochen? What does it have to do with faith? This is a very high level in the Avodas Hashem. It sounds like a great servant of Hashem, but in what way does this embody the concept of faith or trust? So the Maharal of Prague has a sefer called Netivot Olam, Ways of the World, and he has many different ways. His ways of the world are not about worldliness, but about Yiddishkeit. Now, Yiddishkeit changes the world. But he has a Nesiva B'tochen, which we quoted many times. But I want to quote to you today from the Nesiva Emunah, from the Path of Faith. He says, there's a verse that it says, the prophet Chavakuk came, Bo Chavakuk, Ve'amida Malachas. He placed up all of Yiddishkeit on one foundation. He said, it's all based on one thing. You get this right, everything's going to fit it. What was that? And that's Emunah. Tzadik B'munasa Yichu, you live by your faith. If you have faith, everything else will be in place. So what does this mean? I mean, okay, so I have faith in Hashem, I believe in Hashem, but nothing else is right. And you know, we all know that there are people who believe in Hashem and don't do the right thing either. Their faith is experienced in a way which is cavalier. They're cavalier towards Hashem. You know, the famous example that we talked about so many times, the words of the Gemara, Ganva pumachtat rachbana karya. The thief, as he's making his heist, he's busy praying to Hashem for success. So he believes in Hashem. If he didn't believe in Hashem, why would he pray? Well, there's no atheist in the foxholes. When he has a moment of difficulty, when everything falls apart, all of a sudden he has faith in Hashem. The faith didn't come out of nowhere. He has to have faith in Hashem. He believes Hashem could deliver him, but it doesn't change the way he lives his life on a regular basis. How could Chavakuk come along and say that? If you have your faith, everything else will fall into place. So the Maharal explains, and he says that Inyan Hamaimin, the idea of true faith means, Shehu Moisel Atzme Elav Yizbarach, that he commits himself to God. That's the meaning of faith. Faith does not mean that I know God can help. I know God can control or even does control everything. That's not the meaning of living with faith. Living with faith means that you are devoted to Hashem. It means, it's more like we would say in English, faithfulness. That you are faithful to Hashem. Faithful to Hashem means you're devoted to Hashem. Like using the metaphor of the spouses before. When he's a faithful spouse, he's loyal, he's trusted, he's committed. It's not just that I believe Hashem could do. Faithfulness to Hashem means that I'm devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. That's the meaning of faithfulness. He says, Moisir Atzmei Elav Yizbarach. And very interesting, although this is about Emunah, the Maharal says, Uboteach Boi. And he trusts in Hashem. He relies on Hashem. Ve'enoi Sor Min Hashem Yizbarach Klal. He never takes his focus off Hashem. He never looks away. L'shum tzad, on any side. Ki zehu inyan ha'emunah. What does emunah mean? Emunah means shadovak bo yizbarach legamri. Emunah, faith, means that one cleaves to Hashem. And because a person has faith, which means that there's a sense of faithfulness to Hashem, yeshli dveikas bo yizbarach ha'idei ha'emunah. By virtue of that faith, he is faithful. And he clings to Hashem. The faith inspires the faithfulness. Kashara adam amayim beyizbarach b'chol libei. Like a person who believes in Hashem wholeheartedly. or with his whole heart. Who dovik beyizbarech venisar meitei. If he is filled with a sense of faith for Hashem, he never for a moment wavers or takes his gaze off Hashem. The davar zeh gam ken shleim is gamar. This is a certain state of perfection. This is a state of completion. Because he says, what is the meaning of a mitzvah, the Maharal says? What is the point and purpose of mitzvahs? Some people think mitzvahs are magical ways for you to get heavenly chocolate cake. Relationship with Hashem. So what does that mean? Ki kol ha-mitzvahs she-yiyu le-adam dveikus ba-yizbarach. That you should cleave to Hashem. So why does God need me to do A, B, or C? If he's such a great God, what does he care what I eat? And why does he care who I marry? And why does he care how I live my life? He's such a big God. He created 60 million universes. What does he get bogged down in my little details for? I had a guy once, he called me, that I should help him, whatever, his children. I should officiate the wedding. I really don't do these things. I don't look for, you know, outside the community. I generally don't. I try not to officiate because it's only trouble. But, you know, who knows? People are Jewish, not Jewish. I don't know. It's like it's. If I can, I avoid it. Okay, but I mean, my community, I have no choice. Anyway, this guy came and pursued me, made me sugar. So I said, okay, I'll officiate the wedding, but you understand, this Taharat HaMashpacha, the bride has to learn about family purity, and the groom will have to learn about it, and she has to go to the mikveh. And they came back to me and said, no, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I said, okay, fine. It's not going to work, so find a rabbi. So the father calls me, starts screaming at me every four-letter word in the book. Obviously very wealthy, very arrogant. What are you doing in people's bedrooms? What are you screaming at me for? I hung up the phone, I'm a sugar now. Like, what are you screaming at? What am I? I want to be in people's bedrooms? The Rabbeinu Shalilim wants to be in people's bedrooms. I'm God's representative. The Rabbeinu Shalilim is in your bedroom. The Rabbeinu Shalilim cares about your intimate life. The great God cares about my intimate life? Bilam had what to say about that. And because Bilam had what to say about it, Hashem punished him in a very severe way. Yeah, God's involved in every little detail. In the intimate human relationship, the Rabbeinu Shalom, Almighty God, is right there. Yes. Yeah, that's how it works. Well, God cares about these things? What does it do for God? Okay, that's like a general question. Why does God need any of this? Because Hashem says that we should have an opportunity to be close to Him. We could be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our bedroom, and close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our kitchen, and close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our living room, and close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our office and our place of business, and everywhere else we are. And these are all different parts of the human condition, different parts. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us through our parenting, and He's close to us through our wider family relationships, and He's close to us in our community. He's close to us in all these ways. All these things have mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs that govern communal setting, and the mitzvahs, there are mitzvahs of respect, and the mitzvahs of dignity, and there are mitzvahs of love, and the mitzvahs of care, and mitzvahs of concern, and mitzvahs of giving loans, and mitzvahs of not taking advantage and exploiting naivete. It's all how you deal with other people. And there's mitzvahs about how you deal with family, how you deal with siblings, how you deal with children, how you deal with parents. There's mitzvahs. It's governed. Mitzvahs governs it. Thou shalt respect thy children. Sorry, that's not a mitzvah in the Torah. That's a mitzvah in the Western world. In the Torah, it's thou shalt respect your parents. A little different than what the Western world thinks. So the Eibishter governs all these things. And what is it all about? What are all these mitzvahs about? All these mitzvahs are about dveikus b'yizbarech. It's about cleaving to Hashem. That's what these mitzvahs are about. So therefore, if a person is going to be faithful to Hashem, what's he looking for? What is faithfulness fully implemented, fully unfurled, fully developed? What does faithfulness look like? The answer is a singular focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person is faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is he going to do in every opportunity that presents itself? He'll do the mitzvahs that are available. Why? Because he's faithful. Emunah doesn't mean I believe that God can do whatever he wants, or that God will do whatever he wants, or even that God's in control. That's not what Emunah means, says the Maharal. Emunah, if a person lives with Emunah, it means that he's devoted to Dveikus b'Hashem. Now think about this, and think about how we learned so many times that bitachon is emuna, translated into what we call pnimius, in a way that changes how I feel, how I look at things. So if emuna it means faithfulness, then what does trustworthiness mean? It means that My life is about my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that becomes the pinnacle of trust. The pinnacle of trust means that it becomes a God-centric world instead of a me-centric world. And the question I ask myself in every situation is, what does Hashem want? What does Hashem want? Is this good for Hashem? Is this in accordance? Does this align with the will of Hashem? What does not align with the will of Hashem? If it's not what I want, who cares what I want? I'm not focused on what I want. I'm focused on what Hashem wants. So I have to ask that simple question. What does Hashem want? And sometimes it's uncomfortable. Okay, but that's what Hashem wants. And if that's what Hashem wants, it's not, the person is not doing it out of, like, he's afraid of being struck down by God. Listen to these words of Rabbeinu Yena. Rabbeinu Yena, in his commentary in the 10th chapter of Mishlei, the 28th verse says like this, Tochelet tzadikim simcha, the hope, the aspiration, the yearning of tzadikim brings them joy. V'tikvat reshoyim, and the hope and the aspiration of the wicked, tevid, is lost, goes into oblivion. And then Metzudas David explains that the tikva of tzadikim is a source of joy for them. Because what's their tikva? What's the hope? What's the hatikva of a tzaddik? The tikva of a tzaddik, he puts his hope in Hashem. So his hope in Hashem, that's a source of joy for him. Because that's what he's looking for. Rabbeinu Yena says like this, he explains this. It says with regard to the lusts and cravings that often characterize the way people live, unfortunately. And what do people have lust and craving for? People, the first thing people lust is money. People do anything for money, including all kinds of nefarious, immoral things if they think they'll be able to gain more money, from stealing and cheating to all kinds of things. Why? Because they have a financial gain. They want to get more money. So they have a taiva. They have a natural taiva for oisher. What else do people have a natural desire for? They want to be honored. They want to be feted. They want to be treated with kid gloves. These are things that every person wants by nature. But he says this is not the hope of a tzaddik. Because the tzaddik's hope is a thing of that brings him joy and brings him happiness, because his entire hope, techaltam, is loy al koicham va'itzam yodam. Their hope, the hope of a tzaddik, of a truly righteous person, is not what's in it for me or how will I be able to flex my muscle or achieve some kind of prowess. But rather, al rachmei Hashem Yisbarach, they place themselves entirely upon the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbeinu Yena says, what's an example of this? What's an example of this, living a God-centered life? And it says, betach el Hashem b'chol levavcha, which is this verse. It's the same verse that Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Asher begins his commentary with, betach el Hashem. And he says, "V'lo yidagu behem shachat techelas." He doesn't worry about the other things that people are looking for. He doesn't worry about miyata eisher, have more money, have less money. He doesn't worry about these things. Simchas yasigun min techelas hakopanim. He is going, as long as he's close to Hashem, that's what he's looking for. So you're talking about a person who delights in avodas Hashem, and he says, he misangim al ha'avodah, a person whose delight is in service to Hashem, asher yavdun osa elekim bitochelet, who serves Hashem with yearning, with a clinging, ubebitochein, and with trust. So Rabbeinu Yena also understands that trust and yearning and cleaving to Hashem go hand in hand. It sounds very strange that this is what bitochen is about. The answer is yeah, that actually is what bitochen is about. Here's something that comes from a much, much later source. This is a 20th century source. The famous Rav of Dvinsk, the Meir Simcha HaKoyen, in his commentary on the Chumash, in the Sefer Meshech Chochma, he writes like this. He says, the Torah says, in Deuteronomy 10, chapter, verse 20, it says that es Hashem alikecha tira, you should revere Hashem your God, uboy sidbok, and you should cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he first cites the Rambam in the book of mitzvahs. The Rambam says the sixth positive mitzvah of the Torah is that we should cleave to the Torah sages, which is, for Hasidim, is very easy to understand. This is the idea of iskashos, being connected to the Rebbe. But he says, Ramban, Nachmanides, understands this dveikus as a yearning for closeness to Hashem, or a God-centered focus, that he should be a vehicle for Hashem's presence. And Meir Simcha says, I can't really, you know, I can't mix in with these the greatest of the greats, these great Rishonim, but to me it seems that what we're really talking about here, this cleaving business, the mitzvah of to cleave to Hashem, is the mitzvah of bitachon. It's the mitzvah of trust. That trust means cleaving. Real trust means that it's Hashem. It's trustworthiness and faithfulness in Hashem. That's what he says it means. And he says this is what Yirmiyahu spoke about in his words, betach b'Hashem, and bitcho b'Hashem adiyad, trust in Hashem forever. And the opposite of how that's a terrible thing. And he says there's many different levels of trust. It's interesting. Like he mentions even Rabbeinu Bechaya here at some point, the Chavos Halevavos. So he says there's, like, he calls it, there's bitachin tivi. He says there's bitachin musari. There's like what we call societal trust. Societal trust means that in a normal society, which I'm not so sure we live in a normal society anymore, but in a normal society, people trust in government. People don't trust the government anymore. But in a normal society, the government's there to serve the people. Politicians are supposed to be servants of the public. So people place their trust in the institutions that claim to be there for their welfare. A lot of people have lost their trust in this. And by the way, this is the unraveling of society. When people lose their trust in government, it's not a healthy thing. It's not a good thing. Because that's like, he calls it bitachon musari. It's like literally ethical, but I think it's more like societal, we would translate it. And he says, kibitachon ha'am b'melech, like a nation that trusts in the king or the ruler, governor. Why? Hu yidag l'machserim. That's his job. His pay grade is he has to make sure that there's economic prosperity in the country. He's providing for the citizens, or opportunity to make a living, and what looks like making a living, whatever you want to call it, and say safety and security. But then when the government doesn't do that, then people lose trust in government. He says there's natural trust. He says, like, a foundation of marriage is trust. It's natural trust. So people get married, there's trust. The wife trusts her, she trusts her husband. She places her trust that he's going to be a breadwinner, he's going to take care of things. And unfortunately, that trust could be violated. But this is a natural trust. He says it's a trust that people have, children have towards their parents. And he goes on and talks about his various levels of trust. Okay, fine. And he talks about trust in Hashem. And he says that this idea then, he talks about K'mesh Dibur Barucha HaChosid B'Shar B'Tochen, refers to Chavos Halevavos, what we're talking about, the Shar B'Tochen. But he said that the trust in Hashem that Rabbeinu Bechaya describes, Ze Inyan Nikra Obay Sidbak. This is the idea of cleaving to Hashem. That when a person, Sheyetzayer HaAdam Shehu Dovek LaHashgacha Al Yenam Hashem Yisbarach, that he sees in his imagination, he envisions how he's totally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that he feels Hashem in everything that he does. And that whatever comes his way, what's called success, the question is only one thing. Where is the Eibush to fit into all this? This becomes the defining hallmark of that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says when a person lives like that, so then he stops having any worries. He has no more anxieties. And this is exactly what Rabbeinu Bechaya was talking about from the beginning. He says, the ultimate goal of trust is to rid yourself of anxiety. He says, here a person has no anxiety whatsoever because he's entirely focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he lives like what Rebbe used to speak about. Rebbe used to speak about Tachan. Rebbe used to always say, as a mensch lebt ad ruhi kelebn, a person lives a peaceful life. Everybody wants peace. Everybody wants peace and quiet. But Tachan affords us that peace. When we live a Hashem-centered life, a God-centered life, you live a life of peace. And he says, even if a person doesn't behave so morally, even if he's a rasha, he's a beter ba Hashem chesed sevenu. The very fact that a person places his trust in Hashem, that itself brings him that he's in a place of divine kindness. And he says, this is I think he says what the dveikus, this is what the Ramban means. This is what the Ramban means when he says you should be trusting in Hashem. And then he finishes off and he says, and you know what? He says, this is what the Rambam means also. And he says that, and it's funny because he wasn't a chassid. He says, I believe that in our generation, his generation, he's talking about the turn of the last century, he said there's a weakness of devotion to the Torah sages. And he says, because there's a weakness to devotion of the Torah sages, there's a diminishment of betachon and Hashem, and people are not living a Hashem-focused life. And it doesn't serve them well, so to speak. So here you have like sources, Rishonim, Achronim, like the whole wide array of sources that are speaking about this concept of trust. That's it's not in the conventional way. This pinnacle of trust is not what we conventionally thought about. It's not that Hashem can do everything and does do everything, and whatever Hashem does is good for me. But ultimately, trustworthiness in its fullest development means entirely focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that gives us a sense of how Betachon plays a central role in everything. Now, you know, it's interesting. Ibn Abchaya talks about being alone, talks about aloneness. So I shared this with you many episodes ago. I don't remember which episode it was, but there's the book that the Rambam's son wrote, HaMaspik Le'evdei Hashem, though it's necessary, what's needed for those who want to serve Hashem. And he has a chapter which is called Aloneness, or Retreat into Self. And the Shara is, the Perika is Beidudus. And he says, so where do we see examples in the Torah of this kind of like, you know, aloneness and quietness? And he says, you see it with the Akedah. Avraham Avinu said to the two young lads, Aniva Hanani Echo, I'm going to go alone. I'm going to be alone. It's not about the paparazzi. It's not about the flashbulb. It's not about the public. It's a quiet thing, quiet, just us and Hashem. The Nishtachava, the Neshuva. And he says, and this is why that Yitzchak Avinu sought to be alone. He went to Davin, he went to be alone. Vayetzeh Yitzchak L'suach Basada, he went to pray, what he sought like privacy. And he says, this is why the Avos and those who followed in their footsteps, the Shvatim, they sought out to be shepherds, because shepherds afforded them that spirituality, that quiet spirituality. And they weren't looking for other engagement or involvement. And like I said, like this book was not translated from Arabic till the 1930s. It was only written in Arabic, right? So there's no way that the Rebbeim saw it, but in Teres Chaim, in Parshas Vayechi, there's this whole long, lengthy thing where the Mittler Rebbe explains, based on the teaching of the Alter Rebbe, that the entire concept of the Shvatim, why they couldn't understand Yosef, because Yosef understood about engaging with the world, and the Shvatim were just looking to escape from the world. And they, because naturally, that's their natural desire, to be close to Hashem. And the way, there's nothing wrong with that natural desire. But we're not only supposed to follow our natural desire, we're supposed to ask ourselves, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? But yeah, that should be the thing that we're looking for. So the Shvatim were looking on that path of aloneness, of separation. And therefore they couldn't understand Yosef. But Yosef was a tzaddik el, and Yosef showed them that you can bring the holiness of Hashem right into all worldly matters, and it doesn't have to bring you down. It doesn't have to phase you. And this is all, it's all true. And on some level, we have to strive to be Yosef a tzaddik. But to have a sense of joy in that moment of aloneness, and that moment of quiet, and that moment of closeness to Hashem, with all of the engagement we have, we still daven Shmoneh Esrei. We're supposed to daven every day. Chassidim daven for hours. That's where we should find our joy. That's where we should find our sense of closeness to Hashem. That's where a person finds his solace. That's where a person finds his comfort. Like it says in today's Yom Yom, that the idea when a person learns, he's like a pupil before Hashem. He's trying to understand Hashem. He's trying to understand Hashem's wisdom. He's undressing the wisdom so that he should be able to absorb it and appreciate its profundity. Because that's the pay grade of Torah study. But when a person davens, he's like, he's undressing himself before Hashem. He's taking, peeling away those layers. He's trying to be sincere, pure before Hashem. And he finds a sense of solace and comfort in that. And it's not a contradiction. So on the contrary, it's precisely because a person can daven with devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that from there he gets the strength to be able to deal with the whole world. So it's fascinating to me that this, like the climax, the apex, the pinnacle of trust is this extremely high level of becoming focused only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, living a God-centric life. And this is even relevant for us. It's even relevant. Like it seems so far out. So I want to suggest that we could perhaps best appreciate the Chavis HaLevavos' approach by looking at a fascinating phenomenon. There's this book that the Rebbe put together called Hayom Yom. And the Book of Yom explains and illuminates Avodas Hashem through Chassidus Chabad, through the teachings of Chassidus Chabad. It gives you final rulings in areas of custom and convention, what we do, what our minhag is. And in small aphorisms, it really depicts for you, it narrates for you the whole perspective of Chassidus. How Chassidus looks, how we look at another Jew, how we look at a mitzvah, how we look at Torah study, how we look at the relationship with each other and with the Rebbe. It's all spelled out over here. And the entirety of the Book of Hayom Yom is redacted from the pen of the Friedrich Rebbe. The Rebbe was the ultimate chassid, and everything is redacted like from a letter or from a talk or a mimer. So the Rebbe sometimes will take three words and then four words and three words, you know, like two paragraphs apart, then fuse a single sentence, but he's always using the Friedrich Rebbe's language. There is one exception in the entire book where the Rebbe cites not something from the Friedrich Rebbe. He cites something from the Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbe the Tzemach Tzedek, from the Shredish Mitzvah Tfilah, from Derech Mitzvah Secha. This is a direct quote from the Tzemach Tzedek. And he says that Tzemach Tzedek writes. It's very unusual, right? Because it's not a tzitut, it's not a copies, even cut and paste, but it's not copied from the writing of the Tzemach Tzedek, of the Friedrich Rebbe. The Tzemach Tzedek writes, this is the last day of Hayom Yom. This is the climax of Hayom Yom, the apex of the Hayom Yom. Hayom Yom begins on Yutes Kislev, it ends on the 18th of Kislev. So the apex of the Hayom Yom is, the climax is, that Tzemach Tzedek writes that the words in the Book of Psalms, in Psalm 73, the 25th verse that it says, that V'imcha lechafatzti, I don't want that which is with you. I want you Hashem. Not the higher worlds, I want nothing. He said, Tzemach Tzedek writes, that means, Shalilach beitz shum davar zelasi yisbarach, that we should be seeking nothing other than God Himself. God Himself. Lei afilu shamayim v'aretz, not even heaven and earth, which heaven and earth in mystical kind of literature is a reference to the higher Gan Eden and the lower Gan Eden. So we shouldn't want that. The focus of life shouldn't be going to Gan Eden. Shouldn't be Olam Haba. I need to get my big slice of heavenly chocolate cake and have lots of fun and have endless pleasure, because that's what the pleasures of the next world are, far greater than the pleasures we could imagine. No. That's not what David HaMelech is saying. When David HaMelech says that, he says that a person says, I don't want any of that. And that's because, like the Gemara tells us, famous Gemara Menachos, I spoke about it many times, it's Yerushalmi Chagiga also, that B'yud Nivra Ha'olam, and the whole world is created with like a letter of Hashem's name. It's whatever, without going into the whole details of it. The point is, this is all insignificant. It's all superficial. Elati ha'ava rak lo yizbarach levad. The love should be only towards Hashem Himself. So, for example, you want to spend time with a relative, a person you love, you're not asking, what am I going to get from it? If I spend time with my spouse, will they do A, B, and C for me? If I spend time with my children, will they respect me and take care of me? Or choose my old age home or whatever else that people are thinking? No, they want to have a relationship with the children. If I spend time with my grandchildren, what are my grandchildren going to do for me? What do you mean, what to do for you? The intention is to have that relationship. That's what you're looking for. So what the Kaddish Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to serve Hashem. What's Hashem going to do for me? Or, hey, I served Hashem. What's going on over here? How come I'm not getting all the goodies? How come these wicked people are prospering and I'm so righteous and I'm not prospering? I have complaints to you, God. And this is, I'm not interested. I want one thing. I want a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I'm looking for. The Shabi Tihi Ava Rak LeYizbarech. The Hainu L'Mahusi V'Atzmusi Mamash. And the Hayom Yom finishes off. That this is something that we used to hear from the Alter Rebbe. That the Alter Rebbe used to say when he was in a state of spiritual cleaving, Dveikus. Like spiritual ecstasy, when he would be like in a different world, and they would hear the Alter Rebbe saying, "Ich will ze gar nicht. I want nothing. Ich will den Gan Eden. I want your Gan Eden, your paradise. Ich will den Elam Haba. I don't want the world to come. Ich will mehr nicht als dich allein. I want just you." So the thing like the Rebbe is talking about, like this very lofty level of wanting nothing but relationship with Hashem, and that's like the sum total. You wonder what's the climax, the end of the equation of the whole Yom Yom, that what's Chassidus about? That a Yid should reach a point where he wants nothing but Hashem Himself. Hashem Himself. And then, this is the end, this is the last entry in Hayom Yom, last entry. Incredibly, in the famous Maimer Va'ata Tzava, which is the Rebbe's last Maimer, right? That's the Maimer we view as like the Rebbe's like will and testament, so to speak. This is the marching orders. The Rebbe brings down in the ninth chapter of the Maimer, Yiduo Mashakasa Vatzemach Tzedek. It's known what the Tzemach Tzedek writes, that it was heard from the Alter Rebbe. Hoyon Nishma. Hoyon Nishma Mimireinu V'Rabbeinu. It used to be heard from our master and our teacher, Nishma Seidin, the Alter Rebbe. Ich will ze garnest, ich will ne de ganeden, ich will ne de elam haba. This quote from the last Hayom Yom. And here the Rebbe says something incredible. Al Yedesha Hoyon Nishma, because it was heard. And the Rebbe says, Nishma, the Pirush Hoyon Nishma, the meaning, and this is in brackets, Hoyon Nishma, it was heard, Loirak Bezmanim Miuchadim. It wasn't like at the moment of Ne'ilah, at the climax of the holiest day of the year, the Alter Rebbe would cry out to Gvil Zagornis. No, there was Hoyon Nishma. It was a Dover HaRogel. This is, he would often be heard saying this. And the Rebbe says, especially that the Tzemach Tzedek publicized this, and he printed it in the Maimer. The Rebbe says, Nitin HaKoyach L'Kol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael, that the power, the empowerment was given, the possibility was given to every single member, every member of Am Yisrael, because everybody can be a chassid. She'ikir etzaynoi yilgilu atzmas. That your main will, your main desire should be closeness with Hashem himself. And the Rebbe says this is something that anybody can reach. On some level, everybody can reach this. And therefore the Rebbe goes on to say that even if a person is asking for Mashiach to come, what's he looking for Mashiach? Because Mashiach will come, there'll be no anti-Semites. Mashiach will come, everybody will have endless money. Mashiach will come, will have no problems, no anxieties. No, because the Mashiach will come, will have a relationship with Hashem. And if the whole world doesn't have this relationship, and Hashem's presence is not revealed in this world, that it bothers a person to the point that he's rattled and he's shaken by it. So I was thinking to myself, like, okay, here you have, this is not talking about bitachon, it's talking about ahava, it's talking about love. And the Chavis HaLevavos has a shara ahava, he has I think it's reasonable to say that the Chavis HaLevavos believed that ultimately this is where bitachon should take us. Bitachon is not in the domain of the rarefied few. Bitachon, the book of Shara Bitachon, is written for every single Jew. This is something we have to strive for. On some level, we have to strive to try to live maybe just a few minutes a day, at moments in our life. But this should be our goal. Our goal is to live a life of faithfulness to Hashem. Our goal is to be able to forget about ourselves and to focus on Hashem. That is the ultimate betachon. That is the ultimate expression of true trust or trustworthiness in Hashem. That's true faithfulness. That's what this is all taking us. It's not simply taking us about how I get my goodies, or that whatever Hashem gives me is a goodie, even if I don't understand that it's a goodie. That the ultimate essence, the pinnacle of trust, is to transcend self entirely. And if the Rebbe believed, and he clearly says it, this is where Hayom Yom is a book written for everybody. It's the Hasidic almanac, you know, it's not for tzaddikim. If every yid, as Hasidus illuminates it, could reach for this level of ahava, and the Rebbe says in his last maimer, that it's something that every one of us can reach for, then for sure, when Rabbeinu Bechaya talks about this pinnacle of trust, that this is the essence of betachon, and this is something that every single one of us can and should strive for. And you know, it's like where you set your bar. That's the big question. Where do you set your bar? What are you looking for in life? Rabbeinu Bechaya believed this is what you should be looking for in life. This should be our goal. Our goal should be to live with betachon to the point that we reach this level of absolute, perfect, sum zero focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that takes care of everything. That's, as the Rebbe said, Medem lepna ruik elem, with this we live a life of inner contentment, the inner satisfaction, inner peace. The less it's about us, the more it's about God, the happier we'll be. The more satisfied we'll be, the more content we'll be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that as we continue to learn, we're moving into now the climax. Next week is the big Siyum, that we should take these lessons to heart. We should be uplifted and inspired by it. We should be able to share these messages with others and uplift and inspire them also. And ultimately, Bacha Vakuk V'Amidin Alachas, if we have the proper faith in Hashem and we have a proper betochen in Hashem, then everything else falls into place as well. And if everything falls into place, then hopefully our world falls into place. right? Because we're all, that's the game we're playing. That's this game of life that we're in. It's not about us reaching our own pinnacle of trust, but ultimately bringing the world into its state of fruition and perfection, which is the coming of Mashiach in our time. B'mheira will be Amenu. Amen. Please share. Please subscribe. I look forward to seeing you back for the Siyum. Laila Tov.